you guys. Happy, what is it, daylight savings time, spring forward time, whichever one that is. Hopefully you are not, or you don't feel alone in this drag of time zone changes or hour, whatever, loss, gain, whatever it is. Okay, I'm doing good to have my head attached to my body. But anyways, happy that, okay? Happy losing an hour of sleep, okay? But you guys listening to Author Talk with me, Amy, Valerie, Sandy is our guest co-host today. For Russell and our lovely
our lovely
author guest is Diane Bader. So you guys, let's talk about the weekend, right? Let's just recap my entire week, okay? Because Meadow got her tonsils and adenoids out on Tuesday, which was I put a post up and everybody was posting about it and asking how she was doing. So thank you so much. I'm very grateful to have all of you guys in my life. Meadow did good. They said it was a good thing that they came out because they were gross. I didn't ask for more details, but they let her pick a stuffed animal and she got a unicorn. So she's been in a lot of pain since then. She was doing pretty good, but now she's hit that regression stage because I believe her scabs are coming off. Or because her dad decided that her throat looked cool and took a photo and showed it. And ever since then, we're doing good to get an hour or two of solid sleep a night, okay? But other than that, she is doing as well as you can do being in pain. She is loving all the ice cream and popsicles. And, you know, having a sister, you know, Sky feels like she also got her tonsils out and gets the ice cream and the popsicles and all of that because she too had hers out, and that's her mindset, and she's sticking to it. So that is currently what is flying in my household. We are officially less than 90 days away from my move. Cabinets are going in this week in my house. If you missed last week, you did get a rare glimpse into what my house, the outside looks like and everything like that. So I will take more photos and keep you guys up to date as it comes down. But now we are in packing, which is why Amy's backdrop is back up. So if you're watching us, my backdrop's up. If not, and you're just listening, the Author Talk background is back because my office is still a hot mess. Okay. That's just, we're rolling with it for sure. But I hope everybody else had a fun, eventful weekend. So who wants to talk about their weekend first?
Valerie, I want to hear about yours.
Okay. Well, last week I was able to go visit Lutheran South Academy with my books and we had such a great time. And I also got to teach creative writing to third, fourth and fifth graders. And that was a great lead in to my spring break, which started this week. So I am just taking a breather. And that's it was pajama day at the school. So all the kids, we were just like story time kind of thing because we did pre-K three all the way up to second grade with the books. With even a Q&A and then, you know, the writing with the other kids. And so it was a great day just getting kids motivated to read and write all the good stuff. But that's the principal and the librarian. And we had an excellent day. Just, you know, just seeing everybody just in their pajamas and just in the spirit of reading and writing.
I love it. What was your favorite pajama? What was your favorite one?
I was just about to tell you this because, okay, I think it was fifth grade, but two girls, one of them had Taylor Swift pajamas where it had pictures of Taylor Swift all over her pajamas. And then the one next to her had Dolly Parton pajamas.
Oh my goodness.
Dolly,
I'm here for it.
It was pretty cool because I was like, oh, look at that. Wait, I'm distracted. Get back to work. I wish I would have worn my cool pajamas, but I don't even have cool pajamas. Mine are probably like mismatched sweats. I don't.
Those are cool pajamas, Valerie. That's what I'm rocking. Okay. Like it's just, you're at home. You're meant to be comfy, right? I'll have my Stitch pajama or like sweat bottoms on because Meta's big into Stitch. And then maybe a gray shirt that coordinates with it, or it's going to be a hot pink sweater. Okay. Like I'm just saying they complement. Okay. That's trending in my book.
Yeah, I don't really go out in public in my pajamas very often. So maybe if I did, I'd have to go find something really cute and cool just like that so I could fit in better. Yeah.
I love it.
So for a pajama party, how many pajama parties do you get invited
to? Oh, yeah. How many did I have at my house? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's okay. Right. Yeah.
You know, Sandy, Amy is just starting out with all that, right?
So when I went to this princess thing last weekend, right? They had, I don't know if you guys have these in Houston. I'm sure that you guys do. But they have these glamping party people that will come and they set up like the sleeping tents and like everything. And it, you can have it indoors or outdoors and it's just fabulous. And I'm over here like, I want to throw my own glamping party for myself. Okay. My kids go upstairs and I'm going to have this and Josh can, you know, be somewhere. But that's, they were awesome. I was like, I have yes. got to do this.
Make so sure, I am you, make sure you invite me when you have your party.
Yes, Sandy, you're always invited. You don't even need an invitation. You can just show up.
Which so I Amy, have done my, before. So
I love it.
Yeah. So Amy, my friend did that for her daughter's, I think it was her 16th birthday or something, like maybe 15th birthday. I don't know. But it was a giant outdoor tent and they had like set up sleeping bags with all these like little cool pillows and everything for them. And then like a little table outside the tent where they could sit and they had like little baby chandelier things for them all to sit. And I was like, oh my gosh.
I'm this telling
is incredible.
You.
What a great party. And they're up all night sleeping in this really fabulous tent and they had a photo booth, you know, I was like, wow.
That does sound fun. I'm telling you.
I was like, how about a, that's a great memory. I mean, for just in general, just to do something like that and just, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So I don't know. My kids are older now. We don't do cool birthday parties like that. We just,
I know.
We're just going to have to.
My kids are adults. So all we do is call them and say happy birthday.
Yeah. We have to live vicariously through other people's children, Amy.
If you ever want to just borrow them, you're more than happy to. Okay. Because I will straight up tell you, okay, Sky is I don't know. Sky is you never don't know where you stand with Sky. For those of you guys listening, watching, if you haven't, if you're just tuning in, that's my youngest child. Okay, she's 3 going on like 17. Yeah, she literally looked at me the other day, stomped her foot and said, I'm not doing that. And stomped her foot. And I said, girl, like, you do you know who your mama is? No, we don't do that. Okay. And then she looked at Josh and like pouted her lips. She's miserable. Okay. Like when she pouts her face, you're just like, oh, I can't. I don't fall to it, but Josh is a sucker. So if you want to relive those glory days, I will rent out my kids to you. Okay. You're more than welcome to. You probably will return them by the time you get home. You'll probably turn right around and bring them home. And that's okay. Okay. You still have the full day rental price though. Okay. That's going to happen.
That's the point for the glamping.
That is a great thing for business. That's a great business idea. Renting
your I'm going to just rent my kids out. They're just, they're crazy. But yes, if you want to live vicariously through me and my children, Mallory, go for it. Yes. So Sandy, Diane, what did you guys do this weekend?
I had a really pretty much a boring weekend because I'm getting ready to leave. Yay. Tomorrow for Mexico. Yay. And I'm so excited. And my oldest son and his wife are thinking of retiring there soon. And wow. So they're going down to look at all this real estate property. And they invited me to go with them. And I'm going to be not looking at real estate property. I'm going to be lying on the beach or sitting in the bar with a margarita.
So you're going to be living it up. I like it.
I'm going to be living it up. Absolutely. But for me, one of the good things is my 30-year-old grandson. It was his birthday present in January, so he's going with us. So I'm just planning to get some grandchild time in.
Yeah.
Grandson time in. I have lots of granddaughters, so I get plenty of time with them, but I don't get time with them. So anyway, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. But between now and tomorrow, there's a lot of packing that has to be done. So
yes.
As soon as I'm done here, I'm going back to the place where I've got my suitcase out and all the stacks of clothes. So I make sure I have the right number of, we'll be there 10 days. So make sure I have the right number of shorts to wear, a few long pants, short sleeve shirts, tanks, a combination. So anyway, that's my job for today.
I like it. If you have a washing machine, you can just bring 5 outfits and wash them.
There is no washing machine. Oh. I checked it. My son said, that's the one thing I forgot to check. So it did say there's a laundromat in the area. So, but still, we won't have a car, and I'm not going to, like, walk to the laundromat.
I know. I feel you. So that means you have to bring like 12 to 15 outfits because you never know what you're going to be feeling that day.
And it's going to be hot. Right? It's going to be cold.
Yeah. Hey, you, yes.
So when I found that out, I went from my medium sized suitcase to my large suitcase.
Yep. There you go. Why not? Smart lady. Smart lady. I like it.
Anyway, Diane, I want to hear about your weekend. What do you do on weekends?
You know what? I'm actually in the packing process as well because we have to move. So I'm moving in May. So we'll see how that goes. We don't have a huge amount of stuff, so that's good.
Oh, man. Where are you moving to and from?
Last year, I moved across Canada from the Toronto area out to southern Alberta. And right now we're just moving to a different apartment. So about 5 minutes from here, I think we'll find out Friday for sure. So
there you go. See, so then you can make multiple trips because it's not that far. Well, I like that.
If we can get at the beginning of the month. We have all month to move. So
that's even better. Yeah. I like that.
So are you downsizing or just moving or just?
Just moving. I did the downsizing stuff last year. I took everything that could fit in my car and drove across the country. So that was about it.
Wow.
Yeah. My two cats. So that was fun.
You must have like an adventure seeking, you know, like soul. Cause I don't think I could do that. I just don't. I would miss my clothes. My clothes, which is a ton of suitcases, my animals would have to come. And then I have my kids and all their clothes. And Diane, let me just fill you in on having two girls that are pretty much twins. I had to buy them their own dresser that's like 6 tall. Okay. So they had all their clothes and then put all their hanging clothes in their closet. And I still have clothes everywhere and it still isn't enough. So I would need 2 cars to go. That's what I'm saying. So that's awesome that you could just fill your car and you're just like, I'm heading out. I'm going.
And you have a really big car.
I know, but I have a lot of things. and I have 2 kids that take up space and 2 dogs that also do. My cat, I don't know.
And Josh has to fit in there somewhere.
No, wait, what? We didn't even mention Josh. He's got his own car. Okay. He can fill his own car.
The dogs and the kids.
Okay. Yeah. He's got the little car. He's the one. And honestly, he probably would rent a car because if he couldn't take his cold plunge with him in his vehicle, he wouldn't leave. So it has to be big enough to fit his little ice chest. So it's just a whole thing. It's a whole thing. But you guys, Russell is not here today. So I will fill in Russell's speech powwow, whatever you want to say, in which Russell gives. But we have been doing this for 8 years. And for the last 2 or 3 years, I'm not sure how many. I want to say the last 3, but I'm going to say 2 to be safe. We have been in the top 10 independent book podcasts. We have thoroughly enjoyed doing that. If you want to laugh, find humor, and see how Author Talk started, go on over to our YouTube channel. You can find all of our videos that we did. Also, you can find us on any platform that you can listen to a podcast. So Amazon, Apple, Google, Spotify, Good Pod. I'm sure there's others in which I am not listing, but you can always pop over there and listen to us. I know Russell says more people listen to us than watch us, but you're more than welcome to come on over and watch us on our Facebook group, any of our social media channels, on our YouTube channel. I am very animated, but I do control what comes out of my mouth, but you do know how I feel. Russell's very good about pointing it out. So it's just a love adventure of ours.
I didn't know you controlled what comes out of your mouth. I have
been known to curtail it every now and then or say it in a nice way when in my mind it's not in a nice way.
I'm glad to know that. Okay.
There you go. But we have thoroughly enjoyed doing this and we look forward to what the rest of this year brings and next year and what changes implementations that we do or what just kind of evolves. And when my children don't bust in, because they will be starting school soon. So they're looking forward to these days.
Hey, Amy, I wanted to ask you, how did your Women in Publishing event go?
So it was really good. So I had it's already cut. I'm sorry. I had the wrong day. I was on Friday, actually, and then I had my sponsor booth. But I had a really colorful presentation because my personality is colorful. So the presentation matched my colorful personality. But the turnout was amazing and the feedback. It's always wonderful to be a part of the Women in Publishing Summit. We were one of their big sponsors this year, which was a first for us being there as a big sponsor this year. And it was incredible. I also want to give big hugs and a shout out to Alexa Bigwarf, who puts on the Women in Publishing Summit, and her team, because it was amazing. It ran flawlessly. I had issues with my form because I left it as you had to have a Google account because Google forms are new for me, whether or not you believe it or not. It is. I don't use them very often. So I did have some hiccups, but it was a very amazing group. Also, give a big hug to Alexa. She was in a car accident on Saturday, and her and the other passengers in the car were both, they're both okay, but mentally they're probably, you know, she got hit rear-ended with the car going about 85. So they're lucky that they both walked away. Definitely God and angels were watching out for all of them. So I just want to give her good wishes and a speedy recovery and that everyone is okay, because that did happen. But it was amazing. A lot of fun. I love going on there talking, hearing new people. I didn't get to get through all of my questions, but I seem to always have a lot of questions at the end. I never get to make them through. But I have, out of 58 questions, I made it through 31. So I felt like that was pretty good. So
yes, yes.
What a lot of fun. I enjoy doing those kinds of things. So, and later on, maybe next week, maybe next month, who knows? But I do have a big announcement that will be coming. I don't know how soon I can share that, but I do have a very exciting, fun new venture avenue that I will be pursuing, not necessarily new, but in a different direction. So I'm excited for when I get to announce it. I'm not sure when I will be ready to do that, but why not just tease you guys anyways? Because it's fun. So I don't get to do that very often at all. But Sandy, Valerie, let's get Diane talking about her latest book.
Yes. So let's see. Sandy, do you want to start?
Well, I just want to say, so welcome, Diane. I know you've been here before. I was not here that time, so I'm glad I get to listen to you. I love the, and Valerie and I were talking about this earlier, what happens at grandma's house stays at grandma's house. So that sounds like, I mean, I'm a grandma, I have 10 grandchildren. And three of them are over 30, so I've just spent a lot of time with them and love my grandchildren. So, and I have told them before, what happens at grandma's house is not, this is not your parents' rules, okay? This is grandma's rules. So we won't disobey any of the parents' rules, but we're not going to keep them either. So, so I can't wait to read your book, What Happens at Grandma's House. And when I read the excerpt, or the editorial review there of Dreaming of Becoming a Best-Selling Romance Novelist. So the book itself is about a novelist. So how did you, and I know you have other books, so how did writing become something that you do?
It's kind of always been something I did. Like, I grew up storytelling and wanting to write stories as soon as I could write them. I've still got stuff that I wrote as a kid that I've packed around with me all over the place. But it was just always one of those things that I've always wanted to do. And I just recently, in January actually, I left my publisher of 10 years and I'm working on self-publishing all of my books now. So all of the ones that I had written, my backlist of 15 books, they will all be coming back out.
Welcome. Congratulations for coming on over to self-publishing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Diane,
now you're going to have more control and everything. So congratulations.
Thank you. That was the whole point. Like when I moved to Alberta last year, I actually started working with the publisher for a little while. And then I started seeing things that I was not really comfortable with. And then we had a little bit of a parting of ways. And I said, okay, I need to sit back and just reevaluate. And then come January, I just officially said, look, I'm going to step away. And, you know, after 10 years and 15 books, I'm like, no, I need to take control of my own books and my own stuff. So it's been a huge learning curve and a lot of work, but nothing I'm not used to because, you know, I've been learning a lot over the last 10 years anyway. And my very first self-published book actually comes out this Wednesday. So March 13th, the book comes out and it'll be available everywhere.
And what is that book?
It is called Written in Stone. That's the one you were just reading the blurb.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And it's one I wrote years ago, but I got, when I decided I'm going to self-publish, I sent it out to, I think, about 8 different people and said, can you give it a read and let me know where it's at? And of those 8 people, 6 of them all sent me back a bunch of comments and everything. And they were all different, which was really kind of funny, but they were all good, solid pieces of advice. So I did a lot of editing through January into February because I wanted to release it about a month ago. And I'm like, I'm not ready. So, but now it's ready and it is up and it will be available on the 13th. So
I love that you didn't let, you know, this, you know, I'm going to call it a minor hiccup in your road, right? Deter you from publishing more books or taking that control to republish all the books mm-hmm. in the way that you want, because honestly, Diane, power to you, because now you can revamp mm-hmm. them if you want to and put them yes. out and just gonna be like, oh, look, these are just fabulous, right? Like, I love that. And you didn't let some like hiccup like that, because, you know, to an extent, you know, that could deter someone from wanting to do that and republish all this, because it is going to take a lot of work, right? But deter them just for writing because of that experience and process and journey, right? It that could be very crippling sometimes. And so the fact that you didn't let that happen and you're coming on over to self-publishing, high five, girl, welcome to the club. Yes. Okay. Yes. We love it.
I think my advantage with that was when I first started, I started with an agent, which was purely a fluke getting the agent, because I ended up, my very first book, I had a friend of mine read it. I didn't know she was a reader for an agent. And that was how I got my agent. She loved the book. She sent it to her agent, or to the agent she worked with. And through that agent, I had 2 different publishers at one point. And one of the publishers said, you know, they're great books and everything, but they're not working out for our market. So I got my Gilda Wright mystery series. There were 3 books at the time and they gave them back to me. So I reached out to my other publisher and said, you know, are you guys interested? Otherwise, I was going to self-publish them. But they took them at the time. So I've already kind of been through this, okay, leaving one publisher, going to a different one, and start of having that mindset to begin with. And now with everything that went on over the last year, I'm like, okay, we can do this.
you know, Diane,
it's time to give up.
As you're saying that, this thought flashed through that there is nothing boring about the publishing industry. So, and it doesn't matter if you're where you are and going to another publisher, like Valerie is, who's out promoting her books. She's the best promoter I know of her book, and I love that. Or if it's someone like Amy, you know, who's helping you with the self-publishing process and the book launches and all the marketing. So it's just, nothing is boring. It's then there's change. Nothing stands still. There's a lot of change. But congratulations to you for seeing what you wanted to accomplish, and you were not getting it with the publishing company, and so now you're doing this, and I think that's amazing. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So I'm glad you said that, because I didn't realize it Written in Stone. Now that's your first one that you published yourself. Is that what you said? Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I can't wait to hear how you do with the book launch.
Me too. I was playing around on Amazon last night because I had to do a little tweak. And I'm like, I've already sold an ebook. That's so cool.
Yeah.
But how many times? Okay, I'm happy. There's one.
What Sorry, do you feel
I'm
like?
I'm going to get you down.
No. I was going to say, what do you feel like is the biggest or the one of the most important things of advice you can give for someone who is looking into self-publishing? Because people ask me like, well, how long did it take to publish a book? And I was like, oh, hold on. That might take a minute. What do you feel like is one of the most important types of advice you can give for someone looking into that, you know, path?
I was really lucky when I was making this decision and doing a little bit of research. I actually have two friends that wrote books that were about self-publishing and what to watch out for, how you, ideas of how to do things, whether you do draft to digital and just go with everything there, or whether you go separately to all of the different markets, and or if you just do Amazon KDP and just stick with them. So I did a lot of the reading and a lot of talking to people first to see how they're doing things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people had a lot of suggestions, and I kind of got to the point after a while, I'm like, okay, I have to turn those off now.
Yes.
I already sort of figured out what my path was going to be, and then I just had to focus on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, because I self-published as well, and it is a journey. Absolutely a journey. Just like things happen out of your control, and you're just trying to make it to the finishing line.
Exactly.
Do you feel that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there were a lot of little hiccups. As I said, my original goal was to have it published for Valentine's Day. And then my personal life, there were some things that happened, and I had to kind of step back for a couple of weeks and just slow down my process a little bit. But going forward now, I'm seeing all of these different opportunities that I can take. All of my backlist, I'm putting out all of my book ones this year, so every couple of months I'll have a new book coming out, which they've been out before, but now they get a fresh life. Mm-hmm. And then I've been doing anthologies with another publisher, and just having a blast with those because I created a character that I just love. And it's so much fun because they give you the topic and you just go crazy and write up, I think it's up to 10,000 words per story. And then they put them out in an anthology. And a few months later, you get your rights back so you can do whatever you want with them. So I'm like, okay, well, those are going to come up in little book form too. So mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have all these little projects in the back of my head but this one, I'm like, once this one comes out and I can promote it for another couple of weeks, then I'll get on to the next one. So
yeah, I feel like that might be like an author writer life, or just like, wait, there's another thing in my head. Another thing I need to, I cannot. Keep, yeah, I just, there's not a stopping point actually until, maybe you release it like this new book you've got, but then you've already got something going in the works behind the scenes. Yep. So I absolutely feel you. Can you share a little bit about the new story that's coming out?
About Written in Stone. I actually, that one's been a journey in itself. It's kind of fun. I was living in Ontario when I wrote it. So I set the story along one of the Great Lakes, because I was at that time, I got to go up to Lake Huron a few times and just fell in love with some of the area. So I had originally set it up there. And then through Crime Writers of Canada, I think it was, I had the opportunity to talk, it was Sisters in Crime, Toronto. And we had the opportunity to pitch our books to a publisher. And I did that, and she was through the US. And her words to me were, you need to set it in the US, more specifically in New England, because US readers don't want to read Canadian settings. We like our own backyard. And I was like, I don't agree with that. And I wasn't comfortable changing everything. And I did change it all at one point, but then I went back and I went, no, I'm going to, it's going to be set in Canada. Yeah. And then when I moved out west, I'm like, well, I'm going to set it on Vancouver Island, which is incredibly gorgeous. And I have a lot of friends who have lived there and stuff. And so they kind of gave me, oh yeah, no, this is right, but you got to tweak this a little. Like, thank you. Because I've never lived there, and I don't know, a lot of the stuff I've gotten from the internet and from Google Earth and all of that, finding streets and whatever. But it's been a real journey with that book. So having it coming out, I can't wait to get my print copies, because I am just already very excited about it.
Well, I applaud you sticking to your ground, because that is the whole point of reading, for us to, expand our minds and be in places where we're not normally going to be, because yeah, I don't get to go to Canada very often. So of course I would love to read that and be there in that setting and just hear, you know, read your descriptions and like, this is beautiful. This is very unusual. This is a place I want to see. And then I'm sure you're like setting the scene to like, if I close my eyes, I'm there. So I love that. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then how about in terms of, is this, I know this is a mystery. Are all your other books mysteries? Cause I'm not as familiar with your work.
Yeah. All of them have been mysteries from the start. When I first started to write, to have something published, I was kind of not sure what genre I wanted to stick to because I wasn't really happy with stuff I was writing at the time. And then I actually entered a mystery writing contest, and it was one, they took one of those old mystery party games. And they gave you all the clues, they gave you all the characters, and you had to write a different chapter in different points of view of characters. And I'm like, are you kidding? This is like kind of crazy. I ended up winning. And that was how I got my first novella published, which I will be putting back out. It's been off market for a while now, but I will be putting it back out. And I just had so much fun. I went, I can write a mystery. This is kind of cool. So I've been writing mystery ever since. So it's probably been about 12 years.
That's incredible.
Well, how did that work? I'm really curious. Sorry, Valerie. Just curious of how that game, that sounds like a great thing to do. So did you guys pay to enter it, or did you receive a prize if you won, or how did that work?
The whole game premise is they give you all the characters. It's like a dinner party thing.
I've been to those before. So, yeah.
And what the publisher at the time did was they give you all of the characters, all of the clues, all of the history, or, you know, all the backstory for the characters. And your opening chapter and your closing chapter was the police investigator. And all of the ones in between, you had to weave in all the clues and all the backstory and all this stuff you could figure out your own, you know, who done it. And I don't remember at the time. I think it was kind of a effort, but it was just a lot of fun to sit down and kind of weave this all together.
That sounds like a fun thing to do. I like
it. If you ever want to totally torture your brain, it's a great exercise.
Yes. Well, isn't Russell's book even a mystery as well?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, it is. Because I'm in the process of reading them. But yes. But I have a question, and it's kind of like a rabbit hole question, but I'm curious about it. So obviously, you guys have been to like one of those like dinner parties, you know, like I don't know, murder mystery dinner party or whatever. Were those fun? Because I've always wanted to go to one, but I don't like being called on for things in public. I don't. Unless I'm not sober, then call on me all you want. But are they fun? Because they just seem like such a fun time, but I don't want to talk with other people and sit at a table of other people that I don't know. In case you haven't figured this out, Diane, I'm people-y online, but not in person. In person, it's different. So that's why I'm like, are those truly fun? Because if so, I want to look one up because I want to go to one. Because I'm dying. It's like on my bucket list. So I'm curious.
I think it depends on the person hosting it.
Okay.
A lot.
Okay.
Because if they put a lot into it, then they're going to get a lot back. And the one I went to, my mother-in-law did this. And she had it. It was honestly, you got into it. The minute I got there, her lady that cleans her house had on this little maid outfit, and she came and got me and said, "The rest of the party is in here." I mean, I was like, "Oh my gosh, I have entered a theater, and I'm one of those actors." And I was really filling in for my husband, who his mother wanted him to be in it, but he had to go out of town all of a sudden for business, and so she's like, "Well, just play his part," but he was supposed to have just come back from out of town, and she said, "Instead, you know, your fiance just got back from out of town, and this is what." So we just adapted it, but it was so much fun, so much fun.
Nice.
But don't like restaurants host them too, right?
Yeah.
Am I right? Like, do they do that, or is that like not a thing anymore? Because I know Valerie, down where I used to live, they had Murder by Chocolate, and I never got to go there. And they had like secret doors and all these things, and I really wanted to go. I never made it. So I'm just like, man, I wonder if they like still have those. Cause it's just,
I haven't seen them in a while, but that doesn't mean they're not there. I just might not have come across it.
Okay. Well, Valerie, now you have a homework assignment. Okay. Okay. By next Monday, I need names, details, addresses. Okay. No, not really.
Or you could just host your own, you know, you could host your own in your new house. And okay. Just have like a whodunit party, and they would have to go room to room and find a clue or something.
Maybe I'd have to. I'm gonna invite y'all because, like I said, I'm not people-y outside of online. Like online, I'm very personable, love people. Yes, in person, I talk to my kids and Josh every now and then, and I'm not a neighborly. I like. Okay, to be fair, when my neighbors see me, okay, Diane, let me paint this picture for you. Because I look all great, fabulous, look fabulous right now, right? Generally, when my neighbors see me, I'm looking real rough. I ain't got no makeup on. My hair is on top of my head. I'm serious, on top of my head, looking like a rat nest. Okay, like, let's just be real. My kids are generally getting hollered at, and I'm threatening to break somebody's arm just because they're not listening, to be completely honest. And then my neighbors are all like, hey, like they don't even know if they need to say hi to me or if they pretend like I didn't see them. And I'm generally just like, get in the house, you know, like it's just, yeah. So Josh, my husband, is a lot more personable than I am, and yes, probably rightfully so. He doesn't look like ratchet hell. Like I generally do 95% of the time. Okay. I'm just throwing it out there to paint the picture, but thank you. That's great. I do find that to be a good exercise though, for sure. Hold on. My daughter's entered. Valerie, continue.
Yes. So Diane, can you please explain what is your fascination with the mystery writing?
You know what? I really don't know what though. I think it's because I've always loved to solve puzzles and do puzzles. And I always like to kind of sort things out and sort out the clues and, you know, even like picture puzzles and those sorts of things, word games, those sorts. And I think I've always been fascinated in trying to solve the mystery before the end of the book.
Yes.
And so I have a couple of friends who have read just about all of my books, and just about every time one of them is like, okay, you got me again. I had no idea.
Yes. I love things like that. And even when I'm teaching the creative writing, I'm like, okay, because they're like, can you read it? I was like, no, it's spoiler alert. I want to be surprised. I want to, you know, have that moment of just like wow factor and have give me the plot twist, all that. And I love mystery. So is there anyone particular author that has influenced you or anything like that?
Well, I think from the start, it was reading Janet Ivanovich that kind of got me going, you know what, I can do that. and I find I have kind of that similar, the sense of humor, the sense of, you know, it's not deep and dark. There's a little bit of light and fluffy in there as well. Yes, there's murder. Yes, there's a crime, whatever. But it's not one of those reads that you're like, got the covers like this and you're going, ah, yes. I'm not going to be able to sleep for a week now. Yes. It's just, I write, they call them cozy mysteries. So there's no blood, guts, gore in the actual story itself. You don't see it like on camera kind of thing. It happened behind the scenes, and whoever is the amateur sleuth or is solving the mystery, they have a reason to solve it. So it's a friend or a coworker, or in this case, it turns out to be her grandmother. So it's not really a spoiler because it happens early.
So do you guys get just as mad? So I like reading mystery, thriller, suspense novels. I do like those. I like watching those movies as well. Josh hates watching them with me because I always try to guess. And I'm like, oh, this is going to happen. They're going to go to their neighbor. And he hates watching it with me.
Yeah.
So when you're reading your books, because I also do this when I'm reading my books, I give him like a summary recap of however much I read the night before. Right. And he's like, I have no idea what's going on, Amy. Like, I don't know. So I also do that. And I put my own opinions. Do you guys get just as pissed as I do when you think that you really nailed it? And then it comes off and it goes completely, you know, left. The left side, and you're like, what is this? And then they leave you on a cliffhanger and there's no book two, and you're just pissed. You're like, what is this? there's like, I'm going to draw my own conclusions. Like, does anybody else get that way? Or is it just me? I can be brutal like that.
Of course.
All right. I feel better now. I don't feel alone.
I can't remember whose book it was, but I read a book and they brought in a whole new character who had done it at the ending. And that made me really ticked off. I'm like, there is no way anybody could have figured that out when you just brought this character in the last 10 pages.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, yeah. Or there's no resolution and you're on a cliffhanger and there's no other book to come. And it's like, you know, like a 5-year-old book. And you're like, what have you been doing for 5 years? Because I'm like a completionist. And so even if I don't like a movie, I have to finish it. Right. It's just like a whole thing. So if I'm reading this book and I think I've really nailed it, and then it's like left on a cliffhanger and there's nothing for me to continue, I get really mad. And I'm not a nice person when I'm mad. Sandy and Russell can attest to this. I'm not a very nice person when I'm mad. So then I just start making up my own ending. I'm just like, well, this ending works a lot better for me because I'm just upset. But I also find those to be the most memorable books for me because they left me so mad that they are memorable. Where I'm like, man, this story was so great. And then I got to the end. Now it's dead to me, you know, but it's one of those you remember, you know? So I love those. Okay. I'm glad that I'm amongst friends and we all feel this way. And I'm not brutal. And that's
in my role as Russell. So this is Russell speaking, not Sandy. We need to start wrapping things up because we are almost out of time.
We have 4 minutes. Oh my gosh. She's much nicer than Russell though, Valerie. Yeah. Russell just gives the eyebrow. And he stares. Like, I don't even think he blinks, but he stares dead at me. I'm just like, oh my gosh. It's like, oh, and then if I'm the one that takes this over, Diane, if I'm the one that takes this to 46 minutes instead of 45, it's, you know, I would, it's
just. You hear about it after, I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd rather be poured with hot water, to be honest. But I love Russell. Russell is fabulous. I love him. Author talk is around because Russell dreamt it and wanted it and wanted to do it with Sandy. And then Sandy retired and we've evolved. So author talk is Russell Little, in my opinion. So it will always be that way for sure. But okay, let's do closing statements, comments, questions before we end. Sandy, I'll go to you because I always go to Russell generally first because he doesn't talk a whole lot. So Sandy, it's you.
Mexico, here I come.
Yep.
That's I'm so excited. Fun. I've only been out of the country one time. Well, except for cruises. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to practicing my muy poquito español. And so I can't wait. And I will be watching you guys while I'm gone. They do have internet in Mexico and in our house that we've rented. So I will be watching you. And Diane, I am going to go get that book. I love mysteries, and I especially like cozy mysteries because I don't want all the blood and guts and all that kind of stuff. And I just like to read a suspenseful mystery. And when you add in the grandmother touch, you got me. So I will be reading it in Mexico next week. Or no, not next week. I've been saying next week for a long time. Tomorrow.
There you go. Tomorrow.
You can't get there fast enough.
I know.
And there will be a grandmother in book two. Just not
go. Oh, good. I can't wait.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, and Diane, Diane, can you share where we can get your books, please?
Anywhere you can buy ebooks right now. It will be available in ebook and in print. So pretty much everywhere. I've got a one link and you can jump on and pick your favorite. So yeah,
it'll be everywhere. Well, congratulations. So excited for you on all levels, on all your work there.
Thank you.
So much
fun. Best of luck.
Diane, it's always wonderful to have you. And I love this new adventure and path that you're on. Self-published authors are my jam. So I love you. Welcome. Big hugs. Okay. Big hugs.
Thank you.
So thanks for taking time out of your morning to come hang out and party with us.
It's always fun. And as soon as I heard there was the opportunity, I was in. So.
Oh, good. Absolutely. Well, you guys, we hope that you all are recovering from losing this hour of sleep, because we are still recovering ourselves, at least in this household. Okay. But we hope that you all have a great rest of your Monday, a great rest of the week. And until Monday morning of next week, you guys, we'll see you later. Bye for now, everybody. Bye.